44. Exit Strategy. Milgram found himself heading for Brown's parked Corolla, or rather, he found his body, cramping and gasping from its unaccustomed gallop, weaving unevenly in what he supposed to be that general direction. He'd had a general out-of-body experience between lunging up from the bench and rediscovering himself this way, and he had no idea where those black gentlemen might be. He hoped that they had taken his word for it, that Brown was a DEA agent. Since one of them had spontaneously concluded that a bust was in progress, possibly they had. Dennis Birdwell was unlikely to pay anyone enough to do otherwise. It was unlikely enough that he'd hired them in the first place. Milgram found it rather shocking. His attempts to spot them, unsteady as he was, had yielded no very large leather-wrapped figures whatever, nor indeed anyone who looked like they were part of any red team, nor even Brown himself. The green market looked suddenly deserted, aside from those he took to be produce sellers, all of whom seemed to be trying to use cell phones, and some of whom were yelling at one another in a fairly hysterical fashion. Now sirens were rising, ululating in the distance. Approaching. Many, it seemed. In spite of the agonizing stitch in his side, which made him want to bend double, he forced himself to remain approximately upright and to move as quickly as he could. He was crossing Union Square West at 17th and had the Corolla in sight when some of the sirens simultaneously arrived and ceased. He looked back along 17th and saw a police car and an ambulance sitting at angles in the intersection at Park, their rooftop lights frenetically red and blue. Three identical black SUVs appeared from the east on 17th, sirenless, to disgorge bulky, black-clad figures that appeared to Milgram, at this distance, to be wearing spacesuits. These were the new post-9/11 super police, he guessed, though he couldn't remember what they were supposed to be called. Samson squads? Some of them entered the building through an entrance at the corner, now the first of what sounded to be several fire engines. No time to watch this, arresting as he found it. Brown's bag was still in the car. But the streetscape, he now realized, with a sharp pang of dismay, seemed utterly devoid of anything he could use to break a car window. His hand closed repeatedly on the non-existent handle of the inexpensive Korean-made claw hammer he'd last used to access the interior of an automobile, but then someone else's hand closed vice-like on his left shoulder, while his right wrist was twisted up behind his back with near-dislocating force. "They're gone," Brown was saying quietly. "They were jamming our radios and the cell frequencies. If we're talking, they're gone. Get out now. The others are already clear. They have them in custody? A Hercules team?" Brown sighed. "Shit," he said with finality. Hercules teams, Milgram thought. That was it. "Move," Brown ordered. "They'll be sealing off the area." He yanked open the Corolla's rear door and shoved Milgram inside, face first. "Floor," he commanded. Milgram managed to pull his feet in just as Brown slammed the door. He smelled relatively new automobile carpet. His knees were on Brown's black bag and laptop, but he knew that the moment, if there had ever been one, was past. He concentrated on breathing more regularly and on preparing his excuse for having come uncuffed. "Stay down," Brown said, getting in on the driver's side and starting the engine. He pulled away from the curb. Milgram felt him turn right on Union Square West, then slow. The front passenger door opened as someone scrambled in. They pulled away again, the door slamming. "Give it to me," Brown said. Milgram heard something rustle. "You used gloves?" The level calm in Brown's voice, Milgram knew from experience, was a bad sign. Red Team One's day in the park must not have gone well. "Yes," someone said. A man's voice, perhaps familiar from the meeting earlier in the New Yorker. "That part came off when he dropped it." Brown said nothing. "What happened?" the other asked. "Were they expecting us?" "Maybe they're always expecting someone. Maybe they've been trained to do that. Hell of a concept, isn't it? How's Davis?" "Looked like a broken neck to me." "You didn't say he was dangerous." Milgram closed his eyes. "Blackwater dump your ass for dumbness?" Brown asked. Is that what I'll find out when I ask them? The other said nothing. Brown stopped the car. Get out, he said. Leave town, this afternoon. Milgram heard the door open, the man get out, the door close. Brown drove on. Get that transit ticket off the rear window, Brown said. Milgram crawled up on the rear seat and pulled the suction cups off the glass. They were about to turn onto 14th. He looked back up Union Square West and saw a black Hercules team vehicle blocking an intersection. He turned around, hoping Brown wouldn't order him back on the floor, and placed his feet, carefully, on either side of Brown's laptop and bag. Are we going back to the New Yorker? No, said Brown. We are not going back to the New Yorker. Brown drove instead to a rental drop-off in Tribeca. They took a cab to Penn Station, where Brown bought two one-way tickets to Washington on the Metroliner.